Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the China Startup Pulse. I'm Ryan Chukin, and this episode, we come to you from the WeChat conference called Chat. It's China's largest WeChat conference for the international community. It's brought on to you by China Channel and Walk the Chat. We're really lucky to be a part of it. They were really gracious in helping us there, but we were front stage and center. And they were talking about everything revolutionary with WeChat. What's happening? What are all the tactics? Not only what are the biggest trends coming down and what are people using WeChat for that's revolutionary? How far ahead is WeChat than everybody else in the ecosystem? But also what to do to get banned by WeChat. We ended up taking a few podcasts from that chat live, and we want to bring that to you right now. The first of these several podcasts is this one with returning guest Andrew Shore from Grata and Adan Getzel from Rikai Labs. And we talk about AI, messaging, WeChat, resources, everything about the global community and the messaging ecosystem. What's happening? What's stacked? What's not? Who's got the unfair advantage? And what's going to happen in the next 2 years? It's all coming from a perspective of experts here in China looking at the global scene. It's a really interesting episode as we dive into what's going to happen with AI bots and if they're really something that we should be looking at right now. How far are we from WeChat taking over the world, or is WeChat going to take over the world at all? Who's the player that's going to be able to succeed and position themselves to be the global player in messaging, AI, and everything else that WeChat does all over the world? Let's get into it. Hey, everyone. We are here at the Chat Conference, which is the WeChat conference in Shanghai and in Beijing. Right now it's September 1st and this is going till the 2nd, and we're here sitting down with Andrew Shore of Grata. Welcome.
Hi there.
And we are here with Adan from Rikai Labs.
Yes.
So we had an amazing start to this conference, and Andrew helped us all onboard into what are the challenges of messaging and the future of what we're going to be seeing in the world, and how China's leading at messaging, yes, but there are a lot of things that China still needs in terms of resources, infrastructure, in terms of the tech world to compete with things like Facebook Messenger or what Google has or even what Apple has. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to sit down with, one, a bot engineer on WeChat who understands the difficulties in building something that feels real, and then with Andrew, who's really kind of scraping the tip of this insanely huge problem where we're trying to figure out who's going to be the next leader in AI or in messaging or in bots, or what are the resources that are needed. And you had a really interesting talk about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think my whole purpose in this is this 2-day conference is mostly about WeChat. I'm probably the only non-WeChat related talk. And so, my mandate was to make sure we don't too myopically celebrate all the success that WeChat has currently, and that we do keep an eye on the future. I think we often, like the WeChat savvy amongst us, we often criticize Messenger and WhatsApp because they are right now very much inferior services. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you dig deep into what's actually happening now on the more global platforms, and that's a fair critique of WeChat, it's not mm-hmm. a global platform, the AI and the chatbots, we're kind of in that trough of disillusionment right now. They don't work as well as we hope they will, but
yeah,
it's hard not to be bullish on them when you kind of do a deep dive and see how much is being invested in getting ready for this future.
Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about the future of AI and chatbots and things like that, you talked about in your presentation about how, Facebook's big announcement in Messenger was the fact that they were allowing chatbots for business, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a geologist kind of, looking at the start of an epoch, I think that would be the line, would be April 12th at the FAA Dev Conference, and David Marcus is on the stage and says it's all chatbots. And so I think that was helpful. That kind of kickstarted the industry, and you saw, VC money had kind of already started to flow, but that was a big uptick. And you've seen a lot of shitty chatbots since then. Mm-hmm. But that's, we're working stuff out, and we're making progress. And so part of my talk at this chat event, which was several months months after F8 is to see how much progress we've made. And it's still easier to find bad examples than good examples, I think, of bots. But again, you do, there's a few examples that I pulled out in my talk that I actually really got me excited and point to kind of the vision of where we can go with, and I said intelligence, not artificial intelligence, referencing that line that, you know, we only call it artificial intelligence until it works.
Yeah.
And then it just works.
Yeah, then it just works. So Adan, as you are building in WeChat all of these bots, like how close are we to the point of it working, or how far are we still into the artificial intelligence pool?
I think that artificial intelligence is really a tool that you can use in order to kind of advance what you're trying to do with the bot. Artificial intelligence, like Andrew said, is not yet intelligent. It needs to be supported by other kinds of ways. It needs to have fallback positions. It needs to have people that work with it. It needs all sorts of other supports to make it feel authentic and real. To kind of talk to one of Andrew's other points, I agree. A lot of the chatbots that are out there aren't really that good. It's a green field. People have to really try to figure out what they're working on and how what the objective is of how they're trying to do it. And so you have to really define what it is, and you have to make it fun. My whole philosophy when I'm writing a chatbot is I don't want to talk to a boring person. Why the hell would I ever want to talk to a boring bot?
Yeah.
That's really, if I can't design it to something that I would want to engage with, then start over. Try something new.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Like I when I started this, I found that I'd only been organically pulled into talking to one bot since the last chat conference in April, and that was the White House bot, and it was a terrible experience. Actually, like there was part of it that was good, and there was this, like, phishing attack at the end by a bot that felt really out of place.
Yeah.
So solving for, like, the personality and the pull to talk to a bot. The other kind of point I made in my talk is that you really have to consider the amount of effort that's required to participate. And are you really solving a problem? Are you adding more friction? And if you're not, then you're not providing real value. And that seems where a lot of bots fall right now. Like, I did a look at travel bots, which really, I did that because it should be so easy to book a hotel or a flight or the bot. Like, this should be a good test. And really, it's not any better than any old travel website that's figured out the UI for that. And so there's too many people trying to solve problems that have already been solved in probably a better way than we'll ever get with a chatbot.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point because it's so true. The UX problem has already been solved for booking a ticket or getting your food delivered to you easily and in a fast way.
Yep.
I mean, bots seem to be more cumbersome these days than they are actually helping the process.
I think that the real benefit of bots, though, is that bots allow for really more personalized interaction. There's nothing that feels really personal. You don't really develop a connection with a website. You go to a website, it's a website. You go to an app, it's an app. If you design your bot properly, if you use personality, persona, all of these other kind of things, you can really try to establish a connection. You can build a feeling. You can make people actually want to engage with your product. And the great thing about it is that you know exactly what it is that your user wants because they have to input every single thing one way. You can tag it. You can log it. You can understand really what your user is trying to do. So in many ways, it's a great way to understand who your users are. You just have to figure out a way to get them to want to talk to you. And that's really no different than any other sales guy. How do I get this guy or that guy or a teacher or anyone else to sit down and actually talk to me?
Well, and you bring up the point that's still missing in the early days as well is being good at bringing in context. And that's where it gets good. I mean, that's where you can make a better flight or hotel booking bot is if you know what seat I like, what flights, what time of the day I like, what I, you know, often do repetitively. And that's what's hard. Like, that's why in my talk, I kind of focused on the big players. And I said, look, to get this level of context, you've got to be like a Microsoft, a Facebook, a Google, to have that access to that data, or it's going to come from like an open AI. In the beginning, those are the only guys that have experience dealing with that massive volume of data that can make a bot personalized in the sense of my context.
Yeah. So,
I don't necessarily agree. I don't have enough data to kind of refute that, but I think that there's ways that you can, again, think of it as you're designing a person. And if I'm talking to you and you tell me one time that you had a great trip to Thailand, I'll remember that and I can log that. And a bot can actually log every single piece of data that you input into it, and you can have it, and it can remember it for the next time that says, oh, you're interested in travel? I remember last time you went to Thailand. Can you recommend to me another place in Thailand that I ought to consider going? And so you can do all of these things, but it has to be personalized and it has to feel authentic in my mind.
Yeah, but it's also about making the bot actionable about that data. You can collect all of that, but can you actually have that bot create a meaningful connection using those data points? And that's the challenge. It's something that means something to the consumer.
Right. We've got one of our customers that's working with us. They do international payments, and it's really, really simple. But basically, the bot remembers the last five transactions that you've made, and it says, hey, last time you did this, do you want to do it again? And it's a simple kind of recommendation engine, but it's really, really, really simplistic. The bot can understand it. The bot can make it personal, and then the bot can help you to execute that a lot faster.
So my question is, who's the leader in the space right now? I mean, WeChat is an open platform that's allowed bots on it for a while now. Facebook's just now jumping into it. Does China have an advantage over this, or is it really still laying in the grounds of the Googles and the Facebooks who have the massive infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, WeChat is not a bot experience. Like, if you were going to describe, what's going on WeChat, I don't think you would start with AI or chatbots at all. I mean, there's only a few accounts that are well known for being bots. Most of it is not about that. So it's hard to say that WeChat's really pushing this. Facebook's pushing it. They're just not maybe pushing it well yet?
Yeah.
I'm partial to Slack and I'm partial to Telegram. It's really easy to work with them. It's really easy to develop with them. Back when my partner DC is in San Francisco right now, we used to run the Slack developers meetup. The first three meetups that we had were all about bots, AI, using all of that kind of information. China, WeChat is really interesting because there's so many people that use it, but there are certainly challenges when you're trying to work.
WeChat's interesting because it's one layered ecosystem. So you can have payment easily on top of that. The bot can drive sales. Mm-hmm. Technically, the bot can drive sales. It can drive really anything that you want because you have the wallet, you have the payments, you have just the friends, the cards, the sharing ability. It's just the one place for everything. So when you talk about leveraging resources in a bot, it seems like that ecosystem is kind of stacked.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was making too, is that if you look at kind of the longer term AI, and I don't want to argue that all bots have to be like super complicated to be useful, but the longer term AI that's going to power like a Siri, that does require, I think, a pretty deep stack. And so I was reading this really good article recently on Apple and how like that's even powering the hardware decisions. So they're adjusting where microphones are placed so they can get the best voice quality for Siri to get the best instructions to give you the best AI experience for your Siri chatbot. And so Apple's got a nice stack because it's not just the hardware, it's not just the operating system, but they've got they led that space on the digital assistant as well, so they've been there for a while. So they're well placed to do, I think, more of the advanced AI. But people criticize them for not having search, for taking a very aggressive stance on protecting personal privacy, which doesn't give them access to maybe as much data as a Google might have. So it's an interesting topic.
Yeah, I think they have the resources, but they aren't going to be leaders in using it until somebody else, kind of like how Google followed Amazon in your example. You know, they don't want to be the first people to take that private data and use it in a way that people aren't used to.
Well, I think Apple's response is that they're already doing it. You're just not realizing it. Like, you're not realizing how much AI is in their product.
Yeah.
The Amazon Google example it's pretty funny when you think about it. It's like, could Google have come out with their Google Home if Amazon hadn't done the Echo?
No.
And this came up in a question about privacy standards. It's like, well, you want the ultimate privacy. I mean, besides a video camera in your home, like videotaping you sleep, how about a microphone that's on 24/7 in your home listening to you?
In every room.
How does that not sound crazy? Creepy. Like 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, people would be like, what? Now people are readily doing it because it provides so much utility and value to them. So, I don't think there's any boundaries to privacy if you're providing good value.
Yeah. All right. So I think we want to keep this tight on time. I really appreciate you guys' time. So last kind of lightning round question. Everything moves really fast in this field. 2 years, 3 years, everything can change. What is that change going to represent? What are we going to be talking about in 2 years?
No, you're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah.
What are we going to be talking about in 2 years? I don't know, to be honest. All I know is that it's changed so much in the last 6 months, just in terms of what I've been working on and what we've been working on and the types of experiences that we're trying to build. I look at the bots that we built 6 months ago compared to the ones that we're building today, and it's a completely different direction. And the ones that I built 6 months ago were frankly terrible. The ones that I'm building now are, they're okay, they're pretty good, but I don't know which direction they're going to go. The great thing about chatbots is that the user experience, it's a greenfield. If you were to go into the App Store in 2007 and somebody said, I'm going to make an app that's going to like take pictures of shoes, you're like, great, fine, that's amazing, because nobody out there had done that yet. You can do whatever you want in the space, and we don't know what exactly it's going to be. And that's what's kind of fun. You can just try and you can build and you can see if people like it. And if they don't like it, you start over and try again.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2 years is a pretty short horizon. I see kind of incremental change where we maybe start to tie a few more bots together, and that's, you know, something we didn't talk about is like bots talking to bots, which is actually kind of actually making things more efficient. So I mean, I ended my talk by looking at Project Murphy, which is actually a really fun bot from Microsoft, the kind of dark horse in this. But you should all go try it, projectmurphy.net. It is really fun. You send something like, what if Trump were a chatbot? And they come up with really quality images. And then you extrapolate from that. And what if that is actually, you know, a few more steps and you've got someone like building a presentation for you just with a couple lines of input? That's not that, it doesn't feel like that's that far off.
Trump is a chatbot, by the way, on our platform, so it's a nice little Easter egg in our presentation.
Yeah, I think we just had some Godwin's Law of Trump will come up if anyone talks long enough.
Perfect chatbot.
All right, excellent, guys. Thank you so much for your input, your vision, your ideas. I really appreciate it. This is all, you know, thanks to the chat conference that we're here. And so, you know, thanks, guys. If you guys want to find out more, you can reach Andrew Shore at Grotta. I think it's just Andrew at
Grotta.co.
And Adan is...
Adan, E-D-A-A-N, at rikai.co.
At rikai.com. All right, thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Cheers, enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Hey, everyone. We want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. China Accelerator is the number one accelerator in the East. They are a mentorship-driven program that takes your ideas from all over the world and helps you make them successful in China. At the same time, we take great ideas from inside China and help them grow all over the world. If you want to find out more, please visit www.chinaaccelerator.com, and Batch 10 applications are going to be open soon, so it's a really good opportunity to get in there.
We also want to thank our other sponsor, PeopleSquared. PeopleSquared is the largest and best co-working space across China. They've got 8 or 9 spaces in Shanghai. They've got spaces up in Beijing. They've got spaces down in Shenzhen. They really are the best community of people to be dealing with here. So if you have a startup and you're coming to China, PeopleSquared is your number one choice.
And we'd also like to thank our syndication partner, Technode. They are the number one source for news and information about the startup ecosystem, what's going on inside of China. They also work with TechCrunch and helped publish and syndicate that. So we're really happy to have them on as a syndication partner. You can find out more at technode.com.